The Bible just tells that once you enter into an agreement, you can't be changing your mind anyhow. The best you can do, if your faith doesn't carry it, is to go and beg the person. Say, okay, I beg. Is it possible for you to think about giving us something extra? Because as it is right now, it's rough. If the man says no, you can't be angry with him. Get up and go. And go and pray to God to help you balance things out. One of my friends told me a story once, which illustrates this very, very perfectly. He's a printing person. He does designs and prints. But he doesn't own a press. So if you know, if you're into those kind of businesses, you know about it. A lot of people who you see, they don't own presses. The presses are there, rolling things out. They come to you, take the job, do the design. They know they'll buy paper, they go around, do the runs, then go to the press and tell the pressman, please do this for me. So this one, he gave the pressman to do something for him. So by the time he came, they had made a major error. I think the man making his plates, I think the man was making plates for him. The man had made a major error, thereby wasting all his money. All the plates they made were bad. So when they brought the thing to his office, he looked at it, he got angry, and told them to return it. So he got up and went to that man's office. So he told the man, what was it that you did? The man said, Ogami, I'm so sorry. We don't know what happened. This one happened, this one happened. But now everything has been wasted. We have lost a lot of money. We have caused a lot of distress. So the man said, what are you going to do about it now? He said, sir, I don't know. What we'll do is that we have to make another one. But please, do you have some money to help us? Because we've lost all the money, no problem, but we'll make another one. But if you have anything you can help us with, we'll take. So the man opened his bag, brought out some money, and said, look, it's your problem. So you will solve it. But in the spirit of business relationship, let me just give you some money. So he gave the man some money. The man looked at the money and told him, thank you very much, sir. Put it in his pocket, turned around, and brought the new ones he had done and gave the man. He knew it was his loss. He had taken the loss. He had done a new set. He just said, I have lost a lot of money. Let me see whether this my friend will give me something. So when that one came, just gave him small money. He just said, thank you very much. Ogami, thank you. God bless you. Put the money in his pocket, turned around, and brought the new set that he had done. Said, this is your job. You can take it. The man told him his story. He said that fellow is very smart. But you see, he made him a customer forever. Even though on that business, the man lost money. He begged this man to reduce his loss for him. But he said, this is my loss. Do you know a lot of people say, it's not my fault. You know, I told the boys to do like this. Okay, you told the boys to do like that. They are your boys, not my boys. That's your risk. That's why you make money. The Bible says, he that swears to his heart and does not change. That's what I'm talking about. These are divine precepts. When we break the precepts of God, that is why it looks like we are walking under a curse. There's no ancestral curse for us. I'm talking about why Christians can have problems. I've talked about ignorance. I've talked about the fact that they break the precepts of God. Another reason why Christians have problems is a very simple reason. They are just very lazy. they don't want to agree to wake up in the morning and go somewhere. So when I start using spiritual talk, my spirit has not said I should go out today. I want to ask you a question. When last did your spirit talk to you before you ate your food? They say, my spirit has not said I should go out today. Sometimes, you know, we have to balance things. One day, a brother came to meet me. He didn't have money. You know, he didn't have money at all. Every time he sees me, he said he was doing some ministry work. But anytime he sees me, he'll say, I want to see you. So I said, okay, what is the matter? When he finishes talking, all he wants for that can quickly find him 300 naira there. If he sees me tomorrow, he say, I want to see you. So when I say, what is the matter? And this thing happened, and then this and this and this and that. What I can just find in 500 naira. So I'll give him the 500 naira. Then when they saw me, he said, he wanted to see me. What is it this time? He said, this our friend has told him that to get money, he has a skill. You know, everybody has a skill. So he has this particular skill. Let me just paint. Maybe he knows how to paint, as an example. Assuming he's good with painting. So the man said, I know you are doing small ministry, but let's get some money for you. I can help you get money. You buy paint brush, you buy things. And then I know people. I will help you get customers to do small painting once in a while. He told me that he counseled him like that. So I said, what are we seeing about now? He said that God has not yet spoken to me to do that one. In my mind, I said, what? God has not spoken to you? You know, sometimes when you respect people, you don't know how to talk to them. I feel like, I said, Oga, the last time you saw me, did God speak to you, collect money from that man? Yet you collected money from me. The other time you saw me, did God speak to you to collect money from me? No. Begging, you don't need God to speak to you. Work, you need God to speak to you. What does that show you? Laziness. The man doesn't want to walk. He wants to continue begging. He said, God has not spoken to me yet to do that one. I said, listen, there are things that God doesn't talk to you about. I was listening to Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack is a preacher. His messages are free on his website. Andrew Womack said, when he was a young preacher, he believed that if he's preaching, he shouldn't do any other thing. He said, I was mistaken. He said, it's a mistake because the church he was pastoring, there were only six people. He said, can I be pastoring only six people and you don't want to do any other thing? That hunger will kill everybody. You understand my point? That he knows that he should have been doing something small on the side. He said, but then he was a young man. He did not know better. He was in his early 20s. He said, now I have learned. He said, but one of those days, his rent was due. And before his landlord came to meet him, as he was supposed to pay the rent by Friday, by Monday, he knew there was no money. So Monday, he went to look for the landlord. I told the landlord, excuse me, sir, your rent is due on Friday. Let me just warn you ahead of time. I don't have any money. So I just want you to give me some time. I will find the money. It's an American preacher. He said, the landlord now told him that, all right, no problem. If you don't have money, then come and work in my factory to pay off your rent. And the woman said, when you are owing a man money, you can't complain too much. So he agreed. The man had a Photoshop, all right, those days. This was many years ago. The story is not less than 40 years ago. So he said he had a Photoshop. So he went to the man's shop and learned how to develop pictures. He said, do you know that I worked so hard for the man that after a few months, the man offered me half of the business. So just continue doing this work. Half of this business is your own. So that's why he now told the man that he's so sorry that he has to go on and go back to the ministry work that he was doing. The point I'm making is that the man was willing to do something. You know, a lot of us will just go and say, as a man of God, landlord, you have to understand. So you will wait as if it is a work of God the man is doing for you by not collecting his rent. The precepts of God. Let me tell you something about prosperity. Christians must be people of integrity. If you are owing people money, go and pay them. Pay them before you buy that latest phone. Pay them before you change those your clothes. Pay them before you change your car. It is very annoying. You are owing somebody money and you are buying a new car and you think he should understand. He said, he knows my father died, so we have to do burial. He didn't kill your father. And your father is not his father. The burial in your family is your personal problem. It doesn't have anything to do with his money. Christians should be people of integrity. God says that, why do you tell your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow when you have the money with you? These are divine precepts. One of the things I've noticed, human beings hate to part with money. They don't realize that money you are owing, it's not when it's convenient I pay somebody. It is a priority. The other day, I called my landlord. Actually, I don't talk with him. I talk with his son. My landlord is elderly, all right? He's over 80, probably about 82 or 83. But I talk with his son, who's just about my age. So I called him, man, Alpha. Before I could greet him, he started hailing me, greeting me. I was like, what's all this greeting about? He said, I'm the only one that he knows that calls before his rent is due to give him a check. And I don't think I'm the richest of all the father's tenants. What I do, I thank God for the ability to pay. I also thank God for the willingness. Many people have the money, they don't just like to part with it. Why? They are building their own house. You're a wicked person if you do like that. If your landlord didn't build this one, then go and live under a tree while you are building your own house. Why should your landlord wait for you to complete your house before you pay him his rent? It is wickedness. It's wickedness. People don't know that. It's wickedness. You know, funny thing, I didn't think anything of it. It was people just greeting me and talking on the phone, I said, what's all this greeting about? He said, the man you don't have to remind before he pays his rent. That's when it dawned on me that he's been, I've stayed in their house for many years now. A week before the rent is due, I call him. Are you in town? Here's your check. The following week, I get the alert as the check is cleared in my account. And we'll go on. I never thought about it until the guy mentioned it to me. That's when I realized that it is unusual for people to pay without being harassed, even when they have money. Christians, it is wrong. He said, what if I don't have? Before it is due, go and beg the person ahead. I know you, I'm supposed to pay you money by Friday. I thought by now I have money, but it appears like, you know, there's this strike, there's a delay in our salaries. So please, this is what will happen. And look, that's if you say with integrity, they will know it's integrity. If you lost your job the week before, you go and meet the man and say, CEO, you know I wouldn't do this. But last week, I lost my job. So meanwhile, please, let me put my acts together. He's not, even if he's a wicked man, well, what is he going to do? God sees your heart, everybody sees your heart. But if while you had the job, you were not paying him on time, when you lost your job, he won't have sympathy for you. I hope you know that. I'm talking about divine precepts. These are principles Christians are supposed to walk by. If you tell somebody, I will pay you this money this time, pay him that time. Don't let people be pursuing you for money. Be the one to call. I say, I know your money is due by Monday. I will give it to you. Especially when you're a business person. Your suppliers shouldn't be calling you and you'll be putting off your phone. God will not bless you like that. He won't. That man, the thing he supplied you, it cost you money. I hope you know that. It didn't cost him money. He's probably owing the bank. These are, when you hear the way Christians behave sometimes. A friend of mine is a businessman in Abuja. He sees some men, let me not mention the name of their church. They'll be hanging around their big bishop, you know. That is, they are the deacon. He said he'll be looking at them from television. He said, look at this room. That the money these boys are owing me is over 6 million that they won't pay. Then they go to church. When you see their offering, oh my God. The big bishop thinks they are the best Christians. But in their business places, it's another story. Christians like to drop some words like, you know, when I finish paying my tithe, as if you did not know you would pay tithe when you were buying something. Integrity. These are the things we lack that do not allow God to bless us. If we're doing business, people should be happy to do business with us. They should be happy. That one is a Christian. If he says he will pay, he will pay. I'm talking about the reasons why Christians seem to walk under curses. I've talked about laziness. There's a time for everything. There's a time to sleep. But there's a time to wake up and get about your business. Stop going to church when it's time for business. Let me quickly drop that one. Christians don't. They think that once it's church, it makes sense. One girl we employed in our house one time to be working like a housekeeper, cleaner and all of that. One day she came to work. I looked, I couldn't believe my eyes. She laid down in my sitting room couch like this and slept. You know the kind of thing you look, you wish it was the days of slave trade. You want to sell her as a slave immediately. Say what? You came to a place you're supposed to work. You're not even afraid to sit in my sitting room. Not even to talk about lie down. Not to talk about lie down, close your eyes. Not to talk about lie down, close your eyes and sleep. I said, Jesus Christ. I just entered. I called my wife. What is going on here? What is this? Later on, the girl said, sorry, madam. Yesterday was adoration. So she went to adoration night on Friday, on Wednesday, prayed the whole night, came to my house on Saturday and closed her eyes to sleep. If you're a member of my church, I will sack you. That is, forget the fact that you're not a member. If you're a member of my church, if I'm Father Mbaka himself, you do that in my house, I sack you. If you want to go to adoration, it's a personal problem. When you are coming to my house in the morning, you drink coffee. Why? Because you are coming to work. I don't have to tell you that she didn't last that week. Either she said that she was busy or my wife fired out. Between her and my wife, they arranged themselves. I didn't see the girl again. Christians think that once we say it is church, it is right. Some people will leave their offices just because they are the owners of the business. They disappear to church. Am I saying you don't go to church? Of course, we've been here since Thursday night. No, I'm saying you make plans. You're not just reckless just because you don't have a boss. Treat yourself, and let me explain something. Your business is your ministry. What did I say? And God is your boss. You think it's only those who are preaching who are doing ministry? If you're in the market, you own a shop, that is a ministry. If you're a mother, you are taking care of children. You're a full-time housewife. That is a ministry. If you're a teacher in a secondary school, it is a ministry. One of the people who were there, she's like is the first person I ever called my daughter in the Lord. Stay close to her family till today. How did she get to know me? She said one day, she did not even know I was a preacher. She just had personal issues. And something in her said, talk to your lecturer. She was my student. She was a devout Catholic. She said she thought to herself, say, no, the Reverend Father can't help me. Then who do I turn to? Then something has said, look, that's your lecturer. He sounds like he knows something. She did not know I was a preacher. Just came to look for me. And when she finished talking, the first time she came, I wasn't around. If I want, one of her classmates was looking for me at home, so she followed him to my house. They met my wife. My wife said I traveled. Then later on, she found me in the office, and I said, "Well, this story is going to be long, so meet me in my ministry office." That was the day she now found that. So when we're talking, by the time it was about the time I was a few minutes before I was supposed to start preaching. I explained to her, "Please, this discussion has to end because I'm supposed to start preaching." She now said that, "Oh, can I attend?" I said, "Oh, go ahead, sit down. It's free. It's an open. Anybody can sit." So she sat down there, and that's how our relationship started till today. As I began to learn the word of God. The point is that she did not even know I was a preacher. She just knew I was a teacher in class who talked in a way that appeared as if I knew God, I understood spiritual things, and I could help. What does it help? Just words and prayer. That's all. So if you're a teacher in secondary school, it's a ministry. You can't be bad in class and good in church. I've seen Christians that their reputation is bad. Their students hate them. That man is very wicked. He never has a positive thing to tell you. Listen, your place of work is your ministry. If you work for federal government, that is a ministry. It's even good when they now say it's a ministry of something. You know, federal government has ministries. So you are working as a minister in a ministry. I don't mean you're supposed to go there. You know the way some people minister, table to table. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that Jesus is coming again. Is Jesus coming again? Yes. Should we know it? Yes. But that's not your primary assignment. Going from table to table. Your primary assignment is to do your work well. It is in doing your work well, you generate a testimony for your life. Then you can do other things like, in that place, because you see, some people, they say, okay, let us be praying in this office. Somebody says, who's going to lead the prayer? You? They are laughing behind. Because before you said, let us pray, they did not know you were a Christian. When they steal money, you join in sharing it. Before fire moves on your table, somebody also has to wedge it with some 1,000 naira. You do everything that they are doing. Then now they say, we'll be praying in this office. And they're like, who's going to lead the prayer? They say, you. They will come for the prayer because Nigerians are afraid, because in case God is angry. They will come. But in their mind, this guy is a pastor. Me, I'm a deacon. In fact, I'm going to heaven. I say, give your life to Christ. I say, why? So that will be like you. You are just like me. Look, all those things that we do at work, believe me. We are speaking our faith there, we don't know. It's not when you start preaching. It's just when you come to work, how you do the work. I went into all of that trying to explain why Christians sometimes have problems. They don't take their work serious. They are not people of integrity. Sometimes they are lazy. Then another one, let me just add this one to it. Sometimes they are impatient. What did I say? You started a business today. At the end of the year, you want it to be making a million naira every week for you. Sometimes it happens. But believe me, 99 times out of 100, it doesn't happen. Most businesses in the first 1 year, they don't make any money. They just have to keep afloat. A lot of people, they are impatient. A friend of mine at that time, I said, why is he always changing from one business to the other? And I realized the issue was impatience. If he sees that this handkerchief is selling, he quickly goes to the market to buy handkerchiefs. And he starts selling. After 6 weeks, he discovers that the profit margin is very narrow. And he loses some money. Then after a while, he says, I'm not selling handkerchief again. And I say, it's pure water. He buys pure water machine. And starts making pure water. After some time, he realizes that Father Mbaka is selling for only 5 naira. It's difficult to make money. Then he runs away. Listen, that's how you'll be going from one business to the other. To make money in business is not easy. There's no free money. How many people have ever joined things like GNLD? Don't put up your hand, just put it up inside your heart. GNLD, Forever Living Product, all those things. You know what they say to you? Or Mary Kay, all those things. They'll tell you that just register people and you'll be making money. You have seen that you did not make money. The mistake is that you thought that registering people is easy. You thought that once you register 5 people, those ones will easily register 5 people, you realize that it's not easy. I've seen people who do that thing and they make money, plenty of it, I've seen. But I realized something, they work just as hard as other people who are not there. And the money they are making is not cheap. If they use that same money to fry akara, they will make it also. They use that energy. There's no free money, just wake up and just make money like that. Every business takes time to flourish. There's no business you do, you don't have to learn. There is no business you do, you don't have to learn. There's none. Every single business, you must learn it. Even as, you know, you think that buying and selling is easy. When I was young, they tell me that one boy came from, because I grew up in Ondo State, and most of these businesses there, all this trading, is done by people from the East. So we see one young Thaddeus, we arrive from village. They say he's coming to learn to do business. And I used to wonder, why is he learning? Is it not to buy and sell? It was as I began to grow up, I realized that go and buy first and go and sell. You will realize that you have to learn what to buy, when to buy, how to buy, how to transport it, where to keep it, who to sell it to, whether to sell on credit or not. And these are the things that these boys will learn for years before the guy will now put him in charge of the business. And then one day says, you are big enough to exit by yourself and go and stand on your own. It's also a form of university training. Look, I've seen it before. Just buying clothes and selling clothes. You know, because my wife does some of that. And she'll tell you things that can easily make people lose money. So there are times maybe she travels abroad once in a while. Maybe she's in the shops in London shopping. They'll say, this dress is £10, discounted. So the normal person will say, £10, I get it down to Nigeria. She'll be able to say like this, I put my cost. It will make money. My wife will look at it and say, this is 2005 in Onitsha. And just keep walking. She'll say, this dress is in Onitsha. I know where they sell it. It's 2005. £10 may look cheap to you, but by the time I calculate it, I'm landing in Nigeria as 3,000 something. How much will I sell it? Say, instead of that, I'll go to Nature and go and buy. These are things you won't learn in one day. Another reason I'm explaining why Christians sometimes have problems is what? Impatience. You start a business today, you want to buy a car tomorrow. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I just need to explain all of these things so that Christians will understand. Please let me just pick up on something I said earlier. It will help me to begin to tie the things together. Remember I said something? Your business is a ministry. Your business is your ministry. It's your primary ministry. You owe it to God to succeed. You owe it to God to be faithful. You owe it to God to increase. You owe it to God to be fruitful in it and cause it to multiply because it's a ministry. It is not just something you do to get money. It is a ministry. To be profitable is a ministry. You must ensure that you are diligent in what you are doing. Use all divine principles to ensure that your business succeeds because it's a ministry. Along the line, I said I'll talk about the vow of prosperity and the vow of poverty. What is the vow of prosperity? It is simply to make up your mind that in this life, I must succeed in whatever it is that I'm doing. What is the vow of prosperity? To say that not only will I be fruitful, I must what? Multiply. The commandment is to be fruitful and multiply. There's what the Bible calls contentment. And that's what the Bible calls the complacency of fools. What is the complacency of fools? If you read that in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, if you read King James uses the word prosperity of fools. But what I want to explain is that the word complacency is what other versions of the Bible uses, like the one I'm reading, which is the New American Standard. What does it mean by complacency, and why did it say prosperity? Prosperity can breed complacency. What's complacency? Too much relaxation. I'm okay, I don't need more. Why do people get to that level? Because they have some money. Because their business is yielding something. Because they are able to pay children's school fees. Because they are able, you understand, to meet their immediate needs. For that reason, they say to themselves, I am okay. That is what the Bible calls the prosperity of a fool, otherwise known as complacency. You have a school, it's good. It started as a kindergarten, it's now a primary school. That was 18 years ago. Till now, each class has only 5 pupils. Yet, you are charging enough and it can take care of your needs and your expenses. But let me say to you today, you are not doing well. You should desire for it to grow. Every living thing grows. Yes, it was okay to start with 5 pupils alone 18 years ago. After a few years, you had just 5, 10 each class. But as of now, it should have increased. If it's not increasing, ask yourself, why is it not increasing? I don't have the time to go into the details. Why is it not increasing? Is it because you are not doing well? Therefore, more people are not coming, which is most likely to be the reason. Or your charges are too high. Your target market can't afford it. You have refused to employ good teachers, and they know you want to pay very little salary, so you pay people that nobody else wants. So because they are willing to take 6,000 naira a month salary in 2014 and 2015, because nobody else wants them. You look at yourself and say, this is not right. You are not working according to the vow of prosperity. What is the vow of prosperity? That whatever it is I'm doing must do well and do very well. It must come to a time that I will be turning people back and say, sorry, we don't have more space. Give us next year, we will increase our space. The school must increase in number. The classes must increase in number. That must be your prayer and you work towards it. How do I reach more people? And please, pray to be able to pay your staff well. Because if you are running a school as an example and you want good teachers, you have to pay good money. Because if your teacher is good, somebody else will want him or her. So these are the things you plan for. I call it the vow of prosperity. You pray about if God blesses you, say it should not only be a primary school, it should come I should begin to have a secondary one. And then, like I said, after a while, I have a higher institution. That's what they call the vow of prosperity. That I have prayed to God, I have made up my mind that in this life I will succeed, and I will succeed using righteous means. Remember what we said? What are the aims of our business? Number one, to establish a good name. Because it is important that God's name is reflected amongst his people. People must be able to point and say, that school is a good school. Send your child there, everything will be well. After a while, they should know that even sick children, when they get to your school, they get well. Because you pray over your school, you pray over your pupils. After a while, people know that there's something good about that place called a good name. That is more important than making money. Another point, why do we do business? God wants to establish righteousness on the earth. What is righteousness? Righteousness in this context is the proper way of doing things. The proper way. These days, if you buy your car brand new, not only cars, if you buy a Hayate Moku now? Yes, they are freezer. They will tell you 4 years warranty, 5 years warranty, 3 years warranty on compressor, or is it 5 years? They say this one on the body. In fact, they have this label on it. That if it spoils within this period of time, bring it to us. They know the Nepal problem, they don't care. They say bring it back. They are sure they made a good product. Why am I telling the story? How did this start? It was not always like that. It was some men that started doing business and said, how can I do something? And I will sell it to somebody and it will not be a blessing to the person. The man who began that I'm aware of, they may have been other people, but the one that I'm aware of, his name is Henry Ford. Henry Ford will make a car and say, if it spoils within the next 1 year, it's my fault, not your fault. Bring it back. That's what they call what? Righteousness. What did I call it? What did I call it? It is not that I go to church and pray. No, I'm saying that my products are good. It's not supposed to spoil. If it spoils, bring it back. I'll check what happened to it. The man established a new way of doing business. One of the things that God wants to do with your business is to teach people how to do things. What God wants, when we say I'm the head and not the tail, you know what it means to be the head? It means I produce new things, others copy. A head and not a tail is not just what we say in church. It's what we do outside. That people come to me to learn how to do things. They come to me to learn. That is what it means to be the head and not the tail. It's one of the things that God wants to do with your business. One, wants to establish a good name. Two, he wants to establish righteousness on the earth. He wants to, through the establishment of these things, fulfill the covenant he made in Christ Jesus that says my people will be the head and not the tail. Please follow what I'm saying. He wants your life to give God glory. These are the things you vow to God that you will get involved in. And I say, this is my own explanation now, that you have taken a vow of prosperity. A vow of prosperity. That you have made up your mind that you will succeed for God in life. Which takes me to the next thing I said I will mention, which is a vow of poverty. Please, I'm summarizing it because of time. What do I mean by the vow of poverty? The first time I heard the expression, the vow of poverty, I read it from a Catholic magazine. They were advertising, saying, come and be a nun, come and be a reverend father. And they said that when you become a reverend sister or reverend father, you are going to take the vow of poverty. And I've heard that thing before, and I said, why should any human being want to be poor in life? Then I read closer. They said, what does it mean to have to take the vow of poverty? It means you own nothing. Let me use my own words now. Nothing holds you down. You are not attached to material things. Nothing really belongs to you. Then it dawned on me that since I was young, no reverend father I knew was poor. They lived in good houses. The material with which they make that their uniform. What do you call it? Castle. The priestly garment, anyway. Is high quality material. I noticed that as young children, when we would go to the house, because my mother is a Catholic, when we go to the house of the White Reverend Father, then he always used to have fruits and things like that. It was a nice place to visit. I noticed that they drove nice cars. It dawned on me that I've never seen a Reverend Father really that is poor, in the way we talk about poverty. Then why did they say the man took a vow of poverty? The fact is that all these things don't belong to him. He just uses them to do the work. So if a Catholic church, if the Catholic church wants to start a new, I don't know how the Anglicans do it, but I've seen the Catholics do it. Before I understood it, I used to laugh at them. Until I saw what they were doing. If they want to start a new parish, if the community say we want a Catholic parish, they demand of you to build a house for the Reverend Father first. So the villagers, the people, the rich people, they will contribute money and build a decent house. Then when you build that house, the bishop will approve a new parish for you. Yet the man who is staying in it took a vow of poverty. Do you know why? The house is not his own. If he serves as a priest for 70 years, he will live in decent houses. But they are not his own. When I read these things and I realized, I said, oh, is this what they mean by vow of poverty? Every Christian should take it. This business we are talking about is not your own anyway. It belongs to who? God. It belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. You are just an administrator of that which belongs to him. I found that even my children are not my own. Even my wife is not my own. My wife is a child of God that he gave to me, that together we should sharpen one another, improve godliness in each of us. Do you get my point? And then together, we do the work of God. My wife hardly travels with me to go and preach. There's just one simple reason. Most of the times, somebody has to stay home with the children. All the years that I've been going around preaching, I can count the number of times my wife has accompanied me. And the problem usually is that who will stay at home with the children? So you see, even though she's not physically present, together we are doing the work of ministry. Those children, again, they are ministers in training. My house is a Bible school for children. Do you understand my point? So my children learn how to serve God. They are not my children. They are children of God. Younger preachers, younger ministers that came to this earth long after me, who God sent into my house to take care of for him. I'm not taking care of them so that they'll take care of me when I'm old. No. I'm helping them serve God. If tomorrow my first son comes and says, as an older person, that God has called me to go into Sambisa Forest and go and preach to Boko Haram, I don't have the right to counsel him and say my son is not safe. Because he's not my son. He's a junior servant of God. I should go and find out whether indeed God spoke to him. If I think that indeed God spoke to him, then I'll have to just close my eyes and be praying for him. And God forbid, if one day they tell me that he has died for the gospel, I will kneel down and worship that God. Thank you. Your servant lived for you. That's Christian mentality. It's called the vow of poverty. That's where I learned it from. For that reason, there's nothing that you own that belongs to you. You build these businesses up, it's not you are strategizing for how it will pass on to your children so that they will never lack. For us, business is not about tomorrow so we will not lack. Business is that what are we blessing the earth with? How are we reflecting Christ Jesus in it? How is the blessing of God passing through us? That is why, you know the story you were telling us the other day, sir? The young woman who was sent to the village did not realize that she doesn't belong to herself and she does not belong to her father. That's why the father will come and say, how much are they paying you? Meanwhile, the God who owns you said, minister to me. Create a place through which I can infuse my word into this community. Paul said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. When people fall in love with the world, they make decisions that reflect it. They will abandon the things of God because of this present age. Listen, there are businesses you do It's not making you as much money as if you invested in the stock market, but you're employing 25 people. And God said you must keep the business open, because without that business, 25 families will go hungry. At the end of the year, you hardly make enough money, more than the manager you put in charge. God said, no problem. Just keep it open. Do your best to ensure that the business flourishes so as to make you more money. But you can't close it down because 25 families are dependent upon it. I don't want everybody to queue up for charity. Do you understand? Charity should be like a last resort. Each person should have the privilege and opportunity to labor with his hands and earn money. And I've given you the responsibility to provide that opportunity for them. You are my preacher in that company. I don't mean you go there and preach. I mean keep the business working. Many people have abandoned their business to enter into ministry, thinking by doing that, they are serving God more. And God, after 8 years of warning them, he kills them. Say, Lord, why did you kill that guy? He said, who sent him?